At www.spreaker.com, create your own radio show and find thousands of exclusive radio channels.
Amen. This message that I want to share today with you all, in reference to the Bethel Church, and we've heard quite a bit of stories and messages concerning different types of churches. We have the Church of Jerusalem, amen, which was an awesome church, amen, in the New Testament, where the apostles of the Lamb began, amen. And we know that it was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which was the chief apostle, amen, that began that ministry when he first released the apostles to do even greater works. Amen. And then we know that over a course of so many years, many more churches began to be birthed forth out of the Church of Jerusalem, the Church of the Antioch Church, which being one of them, was one in particular that came forth out of that church. Amen. And then we know about the Macedonian churches. Amen. What's interesting about the Macedonian church that we as leaders especially that we need to begin to understand is that everybody cannot give ear to a Macedonian call. If you've ever listened to any of my teachings in the past, especially for many of the emerging leaders, one of the things that I've taught in the past is that before that you begin to go into a region and you begin to release the voice of God in that particular location, there has to be an announcement made from heaven declaring who you are and where you've been sent to. And this is when we go back to the Church of Jerusalem, where all of this began. The Church of Jerusalem is our foundational church that we understand under the new covenant that establishes us as leaders to go forth in the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, as I'm flowing in this, and I don't have anything scripted on today, I'm just going to flow in the Holy Ghost. I always feel led to go here because it's necessary that we understand this. And I've taught this before to all, especially our leaders over in the School of Tyrannius, those that are part of the Joseph Company, Global Kingdom Alliance. Amen. But I want to share this on Blog Talk today in reference to the Kingdom of Heaven. Praise God. If you can, go with me real quickly to Matthew chapter 16. Amen. And I want to share a couple of scriptures over in chapter 16, verses. I'll begin at verse 13. And it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Ain't that interesting how he would ask that question and he would automatically tell them that he is the Son of Man. Amen. Watch this. And he says, and they said, "Come, say that thou art," and they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Christos, the anointed one, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Verse 19 is key here, you all. Watch this. This is key for every leader that has ever been ordained, that has ever been released to do a work in ministry. Verse 19 declares, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Watch this. "And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So watch this. In the scriptures, the Bible shows us that before there was any releasing of any of the apostles into ministry, they had to acquire the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, I taught this on last Sunday, and I want to share this again because it's going to tie into today's message, and it's going to bring some clarity on understanding the dimensions of the heavens. Amen. And watch this. When Peter stood up and he began to declare who Christ was, He had to first had recognized that he was the anointed one. He was the Christos, the Son of the living God. He was the actual essence of God being transformed in the earth. So when Jesus noticed that the Apostle Peter had grabbed hold of the revelation of the kingdom, he began to announce him to the church of Jerusalem, to the principalities that were over this region, that Peter now possessed the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He now had in his hands the revelation. He had the authority. He had the assignment. He had the dimensions. He had the very presence of God on him to unlock the mysteries that govern the kingdom of heaven over the church of Jerusalem. Praise God. Now watch this. The church of Jerusalem, now, because we're talking about the Bethel church today, I want you to kind of captivate in your minds a geographical pattern or even a map. As a matter of fact, if you go to our home page right here on the website, you'll notice that there is a map, amen, of the New Testament Israel. Amen. Now watch this. Bethel was 12 miles north of Jerusalem. And when you begin to understand the geographical location, excuse me, where Jesus was standing at the time that he began to declare to the Apostle Peter amongst his brethren who he also began to give the Apostle Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He was standing pretty much at the gates of the city. They can actually overlook the entire part of Jerusalem. He's telling him, he said, look, now that you understand who I am, you have the revelation of who Christ is, you have the authority now over the church of Jerusalem to bind up some things. Watch this. He says, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be instantly bound in heaven. Something's gonna transpire in heaven when you release it here in the earth. He says, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth, shall be loosed in heaven. I'm giving you some authority here, Peter, because you have the revelation of who I am. And so what Christ was saying is because, and this goes for all of us as leaders, we have to be announced by our senior leaders, our apostles that God has released in the earth. I'll tell y'all right now, and you can email me if you got a problem with this. There's an issue that's happening in the body of Christ right now where we have bishops and we have pastors and those that are not recognized in the ecclesia as ordained apostles, ordaining people to do a work in the land, and they don't have the authority to do it. Watch this. If you notice in the New Testament, the only office, and I've shared this so many times, the only office that you see Christ dealing with is the office of the apostles. God gave the apostles the authority to deal with the church. Those were the ones that were first assigned to raise up sons and daughters to bring biblical foundation to establish the principles of the kingdom to the body of Christ. And so because of our lack of understanding and because of our eagerness to obtain titles because of its popularity, the church is missing a very vital dimension in the body of Christ concerning its structure and concerning its release of the kingdom of heaven here in the earth. It was necessary for one of these apostles to grab hold to the revelation. One of those leads that it can be readily and instantly established right there in the church. And so when we begin to understand the different types of churches, we understand that there was a church of Jerusalem, there was the church of Antioch, there was the Macedonian churches. Now let's go back around. I want to make sure we see this because I want to talk about the Bethel church as well. And now the Macedonian church, you just can't go and get off into a Macedonian church. Let's go. Let's flip here in the scriptures. I'm just kind of doing a little review on some of the things that we've taught already in the past. But keep in mind that it's necessary through ordination that we be announced to the principalities that are governing those regions where God is sending us to. And this is this has been total chaos in the body of Christ. This is why the church is not experiencing signs and wonders and miracles, because the ones that have been assigned to the area, let me tell you, you can be gifted and you can be so anointed, and that's great. But so was these apostles. When you flip back in Matthew chapter 10, you notice that when Christ ordained them, he told them, he said he'd give you power to cast out devils and to have authority over unclean spirits. He gave them certain authority. He sent them in twos. And so they had a power. They had authority. Come on, somebody. We got a lot of leaders right now that got power. They got authority. They can walk in these signs and wonders if they would only grab hold to the revelation of Christ. We need to be announced, y'all. There has to be a leader, a senior apostle, a prophetic presbytery that can announce us to the region that we're being sent to, so that God can better establish us. Devils will recognize you. Watch this. The Apostle Paul, he began to declare, as a matter of fact, let me back up. Luke, he began to record over in Acts chapter 19, I believe it is. Let me flip over there. I feel led in my spirit to share this one. Praise God. Acts chapter 19, and I want to go to verse 13. Acts 19, verse 13. He says, "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons, one Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirits answered and said, Hey, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Who are ye?" And verse 16 says, "And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded." And I'm telling y'all right now, we got a lot of pastors and we got a lot of bishops. We got a lot of overseers that are in churches in particular regions and territories that are just like the sons of Sceva. And these devils don't even recognize who they are. The reason why they can say Jesus we know is because, watch this. Let's back up in scripture one more time. There was in 500 years ago, way in advance, before Jesus stepped up on the scene, the prophet Isaiah began to announce that there was going to come a man that would be established in a certain part of the land in Jerusalem. Oh yeah, go into the word. Y'all got to study the word. I'm telling you, it's in there. When you go over to the book of Luke chapter 4, amen, and it begins to talk about Jesus coming to Capernaum, and by the seaside, Isaiah announced all of that. The prophet Isaiah announced Jesus to the principalities that was governing that region that he was coming. As a matter of fact, if you go all the way back to the book of Genesis and we start to deal with the principles of the kingdom of God, you'll see that there always was an announcement that there was a man coming. Amen. There was an anointed man of God that would step on the scene and he would die for the sins of man. Oh my goodness, I'm feeling this thing today. I'm telling you, God is putting us in a position where it's necessary, especially for this generation that we're living in, that there be some truth established in our worship and there be an announcement made in heaven declaring who we are when we're being sent to a region. And so they knew who Peter was. They knew who the Apostle Paul was. They knew who Jesus was, but they had no clue who these sons of Sceva was. All of the announcements had been made. The Apostle Peter couldn't even go into Macedonia until there was an angelic principality that called on him, that summons him to come. That's right. That's right. Watch this. Look at the word of God. Let's go over again to the book of Acts chapter 16. Praise God. And let's look at this, because it's something interesting that is happening. We just talked about the church of Jerusalem. We talked about the Antioch church. And then now we're talking about the Macedonian church. But today we're going to be discussing the Bethel church. Watch this. Let's look carefully here at the scriptures. Amen. The book of Acts chapter 16. Amen. And let's go down to, I want to begin at verse 4. And it says, as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, and that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. Now, I'm all over the place, y'all. I know this because I really need to give y'all some clarity today. I don't know why there's many that are listening, amen, that need to understand apostolic order according to the kingdom of God, not according to the doctrine, the apostolic doctrine, but I'm talking about according to the kingdom of God. You know, even though the apostle Paul was a great apostle, he was still subject and submitted to the apostles of the Lamb. He was carrying the reason why these are churches that he planted. He's all out in the community and he's issuing decrees, but he's issuing the decrees according to which was discussed by a council that took place in the church of Jerusalem by the apostles of the Lamb, as well as the elders of the church, those that have been ordained by the body of Christ to oversee other ministries as well as this church. And we know that the apostle James was present, which was the Lord's brother. We know that the apostle Peter was present, which was the senior apostle over the church of Jerusalem. But the apostle James was the senior pastor and elder over the church as well. Here, look at this. Watch this. Let's go back to Acts chapter 16. And it says, as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Let me tell y'all something. The reason why we're not seeing great church growth right now in our ministries is because we do not follow this particular pattern right here. There are many leaders that are not submissive, and they're not acknowledging, nor are they honoring their senior apostles. And this is why the Bible tells us that these churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. It's because they were submissive to their senior leaders. Watch this. Verse 6 says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Excuse me. Although there were churches already established in these regions, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul just couldn't just go into these regions and preach. The Holy Spirit didn't let them. Look at this, verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bethania, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. And verse 9 says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Excuse me. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So it took the Apostle Paul to see a vision of a man standing in the city. He wasn't actually standing in the city, but he was actually standing over the city. And this man was not an actual physical man in this vision. This wasn't what like the same vision that the Apostle Peter had when he was being summoned to Joppa by one called Cornelius. This wasn't the same type of vision, and this wasn't the same type of assignment. This was a drawing of a man of God to come into a region or to come into a territory that was not specifically announced by a senior leader for him to go into. He wasn't being sent by another apostle, but he was receiving a Macedonian call, which was strictly ordained and designed by the Holy Ghost. Watch this. If you keep reading down, it says, therefore, losing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from this to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And verse 13 says, and on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. So the Apostle Paul never did come into the presence of a man. The first person that he and his company of other apostles and leaders, they came into a company of women. Y'all gonna catch that revelation in a minute. I'm telling you, anytime God get ready to do something, he always appeared to the women first. And which is very symbolic to the church. Amen. That's another teaching. I'm not gonna go there today. Praise God. But let's look a little bit further here. So in order for us to receive a Macedonian call, in order for you to go into a particular region, a city, or a territory, you just can't straight go in there in your flesh. You only way you gonna get into a particular territory without hands being laid on you is if God send you himself. God has to open up them doors. And these are what we call, in other words, what we call gateway churches. Amen. Which is where I'm going to get off into today with the Bethel Church. Gateway churches and gateway cities. Praise God. Amen. So if you can, turn your Bibles with me over to Genesis chapter 28. Amen. I know I've already shared quite a bit. Amen. But I'm telling you, God's getting ready to do some things, and some great understanding is coming to the body of Christ. Because again, many of you have been wondering, and so many of you have been being tried by other leaders and ministries. Some are in questioning about whether they're in the right church, whether they're under the right leaders. Am I in a place where I can continue to grow? Are my pastors, my leaders, my apostles, my prophets, do they have proper oversight of me? Are they really praying for me? Amen. Do they even know my name? Amen. Believe it or not, that's a big question right now. And for many churchgoers and a body of believers in the church today, a lot of people are questioning if their leaders know their names. Ain't that something? This is some real stuff, y'all. Amen. So this is a big question, and I want to just begin to deal with some very specifics today, because there are some things that God wants us to understand that keeps us in line, not only just with his word, but with the leading and the following of his spirit. Again, Genesis chapter 28, praise God. I want to read some things in here today. Amen. Last year, back in December, I began to teach on how to minister under an open heaven. Amen. And when I began to open up that teaching, we began to deal with geographical portals. Now, when you talk about the glory of God being released, I want to back up just a little bit more and still share a little bit more review as well. And I encourage you all, if you haven't signed up with our leadership network, amen, please visit the site. Amen. I'm going to actually type that in. Amen. But I'll also say it. Amen. For those that are listening, amen. And I'm telling you, it's an awesome thing that God has ordained for us to do concerning the body of Christ and the leadership quality that God has mandated for us to put out is not just your ordinary pulpit preachers. Amen. We're not believing God to raise up pulpit preachers to get up in the pulpit and to preach like they got asthma. Amen. And I'm not trying to joan on none of those preachers that preach like that either. I'm just talking about some a generation of leaders that will engage the kingdom of God, amen, and won't only just close up the book, amen, but they will release the kingdom of God after preaching it with signs and wonders and miracles following their ministry. They'll engage the people to grow. They'll release the people to a greater dimension, so that the assignment of God can be carried out throughout the earth. Amen. So right now I'm in the midst of trying to type this in. Amen. And share it with you all, where you can go and visit the website and listen to some of the teachings. Praise God. Amen. But it is http://tjcgka.ning.com/. And that is the Joseph Company Global Kingdom Alliance. Praise God. And now there's tons of teachings there. Amen. That will better equip you for the work that God is preparing for you to do. If you're looking to minister overseas, and this is why I say we're not raising up leaders that have a one particular preaching style. Amen. Because when you get ready to minister to people with a foreign language, a foreign land, amen, they're not going to understand that type of preaching. You're going to have to slow down. because you're going to have an interpreter. And that interpreter needs to be able to qualify every word that you said or that you're saying, so that the one on the other end can grab hold to what God is speaking to them through your native language into their foreign language, or vice versa. Amen. So we praise God. We thank God for international leaders. We thank God for those. Amen. I believe that even on the end of this month, when we begin to release for those churches over in the Philippines, amen, we're going to have interpreters online. Amen. There's about two or three different languages over in the Philippines and dialects. Amen. And so we're going to have some interpreters online with us as well. And I'm telling you, it's going to be an awesome time in the Lord. Praise God. So when we start dealing with the release of the kingdom of heaven and geographical portals, there are some things that we need to understand. First off, as prophets have the ability to stand between both heaven and earth. Prophets are the mouthpiece of God. They have been anointed and they have been equipped by God to release what is being said from heaven right into the earth. They're the actual link up between the throne room and earth. They're the actual tube that is downloaded from heaven right into the earth. And that's why it's so important for prophets to stay in the presence of God, to stay into a place of intercession, because prophets have the authority to release what is coming out of the mouth and out of the heart of God. They are actually linked and tapped into the very vein of God. They become the instant DNA of him in the earth. And that's not to say that the apostles are not, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers are not. Amen. But the prophets have the ability to release such great dimensions in the earth. And this is why you see all throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, you see in almost every chapter of the book something being referenced to the prophets. Now watch this. I've said this many, many times before. All apostles are prophets, but not all prophets are apostles. And then in the next reference, we speak in reference to the prophets, that all seers are prophets, but not all prophets are seers. Amen. And it's necessary that we understand, by being that prophetic voice in the earth, that prophet, that prophetess becomes the orifice or the orifice of that very linkage, that tube that's being piped between both heaven and earth, linking us up to every dimension of the presence of God, so that that word can be established that is coming from the throne room. Now here, carefully, I want you to watch this as you get an understanding of a prophet, as well as the dimensions of heaven and the glory of God. If you're over in the book of Genesis chapter 28, let's begin to read at verse 12. And please follow along with me, because I'm telling you, I want to share some very interesting things today as it concerns the church of Bethel, or the Bethel church. Watch this. Genesis chapter 28 verse 12. It says, "And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into the land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob walked out of his sleep, or awake out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. Now I want y'all to take note of that right there, where it says the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Keep that right there. You want to make sure that you put an asterisk, you highlight it, you underline it, whatever way you want to do it. But verse 17 is very important in today's lesson. It says, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? Not dreadful in the sense place. It was a bad place to be, but it was a place where the presence of God was that you just can't come up in there any old kind of way. And this is why I believe that God is raising up Bethel churches, amen, houses of God, because you just can't walk up in there any old kind of way. You can't come up in there in your flesh. You just can't roll up in the house of God and come up in there with all kind of sicknesses and disease and don't expect to get the devil cast out of you. Ah, somebody better scratch their head today. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Watch this. In verse 18 says, and Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it for a pillow and poured oil upon the top of it. Verse 19 says, and he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at first. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now watch this now. It's something careful that I want y'all to understand. Now remember when I spoke earlier, and then again, you can go back and click on the link that I provided for you down in the room at the Joseph Company Global Kingdom Alliance. There's tons of teachings there, especially in reference to spiritual activity and prophetic accuracy. Now watch this carefully. I want you to examine this word. The Bible says over in Numbers chapter 12, verse 6, it says that you will know when a prophet is among you because God will reveal to him in a dream and in a vision. Matter of fact, let's go over there and let's read it. Praise God. The Bible never mentioned that Jacob was a prophet. Amen. But there's something significant begin to take place here because he was in the right place at the right time, as the young folks used to call it. Amen. And I'll say it the way they used to say it to us back in the day. Amen. If you grew up in the 80s, amen, I'm in the place to be. Glory to God. Amen. Look at this in Numbers chapter 12. Hallelujah. Numbers chapter 12, verse 6, it says, and he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. If you notice back over here in the book of Genesis, chapter 12, it says, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. There was a lot of spiritual activity taking place right here in this particular area where Jacob had laid his head down. The Bible says that he dreamed, and not only that, he saw in a vision, he saw the Lord. Praise God. So he's dreaming and having a vision all at the same time. I love it. I'm feeling this thing, y'all, because y'all need to understand what spiritual activity is really all about. Just because he was at this particular place at this particular time, the Lord began to reveal some things to him. The activity that was transpiring was both the angels descending and ascending as if they were on a ladder, communicating some things from heaven. There was some things being imparted into the earth where Jacob was laying, and there were some things being released from heaven that no man other than Jacob was being revealed to at this particular time. Now watch this. Something interesting is happening here. If you notice, go over to the book of Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 in verse 8. I want to show y'all something here, and these are some significant things and some truths here that Christ began or that Moses revealed as the Lord had revealed it to him. Genesis chapter 12 in verse 8, and it says here, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Haon on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. So something had already happened here. Even way before Jacob had showed up in this place, Abraham had already began to call this place Bethel. Oh, glory to God. It was something about Bethel, about this geographical location, that the presence of God was already dedicated to this place. Let me tell you something. All over the world, there are specific places, there are geographical regions where the presence of God, where spiritual activity takes place. Y'all got to go back and listen to the message. I'm telling you, go back and hear the message that I did over on the Joseph Company. Amen. There are specific areas, as a matter of fact, right here in the United States, over in the Sedona Desert, which is located in the state of Arizona. Each year around the same time, people begin to flock to this particular location because there are some spiritual things that begin to occur from the heavens over that particular region. People go there and they flock there because they have access to spiritual things. Now, let me share this with you, and I've shared this before too. Here's some other things that are happening. Go with me if you can, yes, Lord, to the book of Romans, chapter 12. There's something about the glory of God that we need to understand as it pertains to Scripture. Because anytime the presence of God is locked into a specific region, a territory, even into a church or a place, even in your own home, you need to be careful that you dedicate those altars to the Lord. Any place where you give place to worship to the Lord, any place you lift up the name of God, amen, and you create an atmosphere for the presence of God, you need to keep that place dedicated to the things of God. Because the enemy is always lurking and trying to illegally tap in. Watch this. Go with me, if you can, to the book of Romans, chapter 8. And I want to... yes, Lord. Yes. Let's start at verse 16. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Y'all catch that. I don't want y'all to miss it. Verse 17 says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Talking about the glory again, y'all. Watch this. Verse 19 says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now remember what Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 16, when he began to declare to his disciples, who do they say the Son of Man am? Watch this. We all become the sons of man, but here, watch this. This is talking about the manifestations of the sons of God. We became the sons of God. I'm going too deep. Thank you, Lord. Lord, he's slowing me down. I'm going too deep, y'all. Hold on a second. Let me flip over some more. Glory to God. Here, let's look at this. Let's go to the book of Job. The book of Job. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let's go to the book of Job, and I'm going to show you something in this scripture. Something, it was a custom in these days for the sons of God. Amen. Well, let's look at this. Yes, Lord. I want to go to the book of Job, chapter 1, and I want to begin reading at verse 6. Praise God. At verse 6, I want to show you something here. Now, verse 19 in Romans, again, it tells us in Romans 8:19, for the earnest expectation of the creatures waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, watch this. In Job chapter 1, verse 6, let's read it. We're going to read verse 7 as well. It says, now, there was a day when the sons of God, watch that, the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And verse 7, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Now, when we read this scripture so many years in our lifetime, as we sat in church, we always read that scripture and we imagine Satan walking to and fro in the earth, up and down in it, trying to tempt people. That wasn't what he was doing. He was trying to get access to a spiritual portal. That's what Satan was doing. And he knew that every time around a certain time of the year, right here in Job, he knew that there was a time when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Because of what had happened with Jacob, Jacob understood some things. He knew that there were portals. He understood that there was this ladder that was linked between both heaven and earth, where you had immediate access to the things of God because of his glory. So Satan knew it. Satan knew it was going on. He knows what's going on now. And that's why he walks to and fro, because he's trying to get access back into heaven. He's trying to steal everything that belongs to you. Remember what the Lord spoke to Jacob when he had access to the heavens, when he saw the angels descending and ascending. He told them that he was going to bless his seed. Look at this again in Genesis chapter 28. He says, and the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord of God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. And then he says, verse 1, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Because of these geographical portals that God is opening up in the earth, because of these spiritual portholes, these heavenly portals that are being opened up in our ministries, that are being opened up over these Bethel churches, that are being opened up over these geographical regions that God has ordained already in the earth, God is releasing his blessings upon his people. And we have to be careful, and we have to know that these places have been dedicated to God, and we just can't allow anybody to come in and to steal what God has for us. We need to be watchers over that which God has appointed us to. And this is why God is raising up prophetic watchmen. This is why God is releasing us to have more responsibility over our gateway churches and our gateway cities, because our churches become gateway ministries, like the Bethel churches, like the geographical Bethels in our lands, that we can come to and we can receive the assignment of God, and we can receive the blessings of the Lord pouring into our lives. God is looking to bless us in specific places, in specific regions. And many of us are not getting blessed because we're not where we're supposed to be. We're in places that God never ordained for us. Jacob understood that because he tapped into the sensitivity of the spirit realm of God. He laid down and he began to just allow that vision and that dream to overshadow him. And he was in the right place at the right time. And he began to receive from God. Some of y'all are not receiving from God because you're not in the right place. You haven't got to the place where God called you to be. You're not in the geographical assigned area that the Lord intended for you to be. You're somewhere else trying to do something else with somebody else. God never told you to be where you at. Y'all like Chris Tucker in that movie when what was that, Dead Presidents? He says, I'm at where I'm at and I'll be where I be. That's what a lot of y'all problem is right now. Y'all at where y'all at, and y'all gonna be where you gonna be. You disobedient and you won't go where God told you to go. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we need to get an understanding of what God has ordained for us. You just can't go someplace and God never sent you there. But Father God, in Jesus' name, I break the spirit of confusion over your people's lives right now in the name of Jesus. Those that are confused about where they're supposed to be. Those that don't know that they're supposed to be where they're supposed to be, Father. I pray right now that the leading of the Holy Spirit begins to overtake them, God. I decree this thing right now in the name of Jesus, that the angels of the Lord that are ascending and descending in the earth, God, begin to grab hold to those, Father, that are not where they're supposed to be, Father, and that you release them into their ordained assigned territories, God, right now in Jesus' name I pray. Glory to God. My God, I'm telling you, we got to understand some things about the Bethel church. Let me share this with you. I want to share this a definition of gateway. And I often recommend this book, especially if you're a student of God's word. Amen. This is a good book. There is some extremities there. I'm going to tell y'all, any book that you read, amen, you got to remember that there are a lot of things, and that could be even some things that I might even share. Amen. But we want to be careful. Amen. But in this book by Paula Price, amen, it's called The Prophet's Dictionary. It's an awesome book. It's a good tool. Amen. I believe she paid a tremendous price for the wisdom that God gave her for some of this information. Amen. But I feel led to do a part two of this message, but I want to share this concerning gateway. Amen. She says, the doorway or portal that allows entrance into a city. a palace or other stronghold of dominion. I'm going to stop right there. Amen. Because, like I said, I feel led to share part two, and I hear the Spirit of God beginning to calm me down in this area right now. And there's some more that I want to share. Amen. And I'm going to come back on. I don't want to say next week. Amen. We might share it in another time, and I'm going to keep y'all posted. Praise God, because I believe next Sunday is Mother's Day. Amen. But I definitely want to share this the remaining part of this message. Amen. Because there's more. I haven't even began to tap into everything that that God has given me. Amen. So it's definitely going to be a part two of this. Praise God. Amen. And I want y'all to be encouraged, because we're in a time, y'all. I'm telling you, we're in a time now in church history. And I've shared this on last Sunday. We don't know who is who and who is what. I mean, there's so many wolves in sheep clothing, amen, and so many people that are out for themselves and out for personal gain when it comes to ministry, amen. And we truly don't even know who are, let alone our true sons and daughters is. Let me tell you something, especially leaders, and I'm going to speak this specifically to apostles as well as prophets. Amen. Those that have been called to ministry, everybody can't be your son in the gospel, and everybody can't be your daughter, as well as everybody can't be your father in the Lord, and everybody can't be your mother in the Lord. And we have to be careful that we're getting with those that God has ordained to access these portals from heaven. Amen. And I believe that we are releasing a tremendous mandate for people to come up under the covering of a Bethel church. Bethel churches are designed for miracles and salvation, and they're designed for us to receive healing and impartation, to receive prophetic releases, to receive the dimensions of God's glory. Amen. Bethel churches are designed for us to do even greater works. Praise God. So I'm telling you, I'm excited about what God is doing. And we're getting ready to see one of the greatest moves of God that we will ever experience in the body of Christ in the days to come. Praise God. So I'm going to catch my breath. Amen. I'm going to play a song. Amen. And come back. But we're going to come back with a part two of this message. Amen. Titled The Bethel Church. Praise God. Here's a worship song, the Revelation song by Phillips Craig and Dean. Praise God.